The bishop has requested that this weekend we read a letter to the parish about voting. It says, "Dear friends in Christ Jesus, you may recall that in October 2012 and again in October 2016, I wrote you about the right and privilege we have as citizens to vote. In this election year of 2020, I repeat that each Catholic citizen has the privilege and duty to participate in our nation's governing by the exercise of our constitutional right to vote in national, state, and local elections. As your bishop, I urge you again to exercise this cherished right. As Catholics, I remind you that along with the right to vote comes the equally grave responsibility to make certain that your vote will best serve and defend the common good of us all. What is the common good? The Second Vatican Council teaches that it is the sum total of social conditions which allow people, either as groups or as individuals, to reach their fulfillment more fully and more easily. That sum total of social conditions takes in many concerns, and the fulfillment which the common good helps us to attain is not our personal, private self-fulfillment. It is rather the fulfillment of God's plan and destiny for us and for his world. In considering the sum total of social conditions, what make up our common good, there is a real and objective order of priority which we must know, accept, and vote to uphold and follow. Conditions upon which other social conditions depend must come first in our consideration. In all things, the first consideration for us is the protection of human life from its first moment of conception to natural death. This consideration must govern every law and action so that the person's life and dignity are always and everywhere protected and defended. Without this, it makes no sense to consider any other social conditions. The common good, as the Church teaches, is founded on the inviolable good of the individual person's unique and unrepeatable dignity as created by God Himself. For this reason, there are some actions that are never acceptable and should not be made so by any civil law. They include abortion, euthanasia, embryonic stem cell research, the attempt to redefine the unique human relationship of marriage as the union of one man and one woman, and racism. Each of these grave sins is an immediate attack upon Almighty God and on the person created by Him, and there's never any reason that should justify any of these mortal sins. These intrinsic evils are such because they are directly opposed to the love of God and our neighbor. They are always opposed to the authentic good of every person, and therefore they are the enemies of our common good. In this election year, the positions of the political parties and their candidates are very well known. What I ask each of you to do before you vote is to consider what our Catholic Church teaches about the issues, and then consider how your vote for a particular candidate will contribute to the defense and strengthening of our common good. I ask you, please, vote as a Catholic citizen with your conscience informed by the Catholic Church's clear teachings. Those for whom we vote are supposed to represent us as Catholic citizens. In closing, I recall the powerful words of Pope St. John Paul II. The common outcry which is justly made on behalf of human rights, for example, the right to health, to home, to work, to family, to culture, is false and illusionary if the right to life, the most basic and fundamental right, and the conditions for all other personal rights, is not defended with maximum determination. May God, the Holy Spirit, inspire each of you to do your duty as Catholic citizens who cherish and respect every human life as a gift from God, the Father of us all, so precious to Him that He gave His only Son to be our Lord and Savior. May our Blessed Mother continue to pray and intercede for us. Sincerely, yours in Christ, the Most Reverend David D. Kagan, Bishop of Bismarck. I'd just like to add 2 cents here that our right to vote is a privilege. There's many among us and many that have fought to protect this right for us and lost their lives. And I just ask everyone to always exercise this right and privilege to vote. It's our duty as Catholics. It's our duty as human beings, children of God. I'll preach for a few minutes on the gospel of today. I'm not a long preacher, so I'm sure you can sigh a little bit, I guess. But today's gospel, is one that we often hear. Teacher, what is the most important commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then from there comes to love your neighbor as yourself. But we cannot love what we do not know. We cannot love what we do not know. And those of you that are married or have dated someone for a number of years can relate to that. When you were dating your spouse before you were married, you might have initially been attracted to them from some physical appearance or some part of their personality or some little quirk they had that you thought was cute. But that's kind of an infatuation in a way, because you don't really know them, but there's an attraction. But as you started to date and spend time together, you started to reveal your dreams, your hopes, your desires for life, and you also became more vulnerable as time went on, and you shared moments where you were hurt, where you were vulnerable, and those moments as well. You shared the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that's the same way what the Lord is asking of us. If you talk to anyone who's been married for a number of years, I hear it all the time. I love my spouse more today than the day I married him. And it's because you've spent time together building a relationship. You've experienced happy moments together. You've come together through challenges and heartache, but you've stuck together and you've communicated and you've grown as a couple and you've grown as an individual. And that's the same way with our relationship with God. If we do not know the Lord, we cannot truly love him with everything that's within us. And that takes time, it takes effort, and it takes commitment, just like any personal relationship with a friend or family member. So I'm encouraging all of us to seek out ways that we can grow in our relationship with the Lord. Yes, it's good to crack open scripture, to read it, and to even pray over it to see how he's speaking to us. But something that I really learned in the seminary, I was always a prayerful person. I always prayed, but I always say I learned how to truly, effectively pray in the seminary. And how I really learned to do that was to sit in silence. Have no distractions of radio, of my phone, or anything else, but to sit in silence. And yes, you can sit in silence in the church, you can come a little early, or you can stay a little after, or you can come during the week, but you can also sit in silence in your house. Even at breakfast time, not to have the radio or TV going, and sit and say, Lord, I consecrate today for you. Use me as your vessel, as you desire, but also allow me to be open to receive the word that you desire to share with me. And that's the first part of our communication with the Lord through prayer, is to have a heart that's open, to always be open to say, Lord, I come before you and I surrender all to you, knowing that you love me and I love you. And I'll also say, open my heart to receive what you desire to share with me today. And by doing that and sitting in silence, it could be here at church, or it could be even in the living room. When I do that, often he will speak to my heart. But we need to get the distractions
and make the moments of time. I'm not saying you have to sit for 30 minutes, but if you take periodic time throughout the day, even in your office, if you have an office where you can close the door for 5 minutes, he will whisper to you throughout the day if we're open to receiving what he desires to share with us. And Monsignor's going to talk next week about adoration in his homily, because we're going to start adoration. And that's a beautiful way to come before the Lord and sit in silence and allow him to speak to us. So my challenge for each of us is to take some time this week just to sit, even if it's only for 5 or 10 minutes, and say, Lord, I'm here before you. Use me. Speak to me so that I may grow in my love and my relationship with you.